Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
You're listening to Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
And welcome back to the 11 o'clock hour of Issel and Louis. I apologize for the bad audio. We'll get it fixed before tomorrow's show, hopefully. And this hour of the show is brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is easy. You can call them at 1-800-955-2030 or reach them online at ky.deltadental.com. Louis, how badly do you feel for a guy who hangs up a jersey while he's watching UK after the football team goes 7-5?
I don't feel bad for Drew at all. He's got great hair. His wife obviously loves him enough to let him travel whenever he wants. I don't feel bad for him at all. Zero.
Good point. Good point.
He's doing okay.
I didn't get a chance to ask you about the rest of your weekend. You showed me or sent me some pictures of some beautiful smoked sausages last night.
Yeah, dude.
I guess you had a great weekend.
My dad was in Detroit recently and stopped in the Polish enclave of Hamtramck and grabbed me. Just a bundle, essentially, of sausages. And, yeah, we did those last night on the smoker. They were delicious. You would have loved it. And, it turned out pretty okay. Wife and I went on a date on Saturday. We don't do that very often. And we tried a little Vietnamese spot in St. Matthew's that was really good. So you would have hated it.
Yes.
Actually, she got a beef dish that you might have liked. I should take that back. A little steak kind of action. Actually, you might have liked that one. But
Well, we did yesterday afternoon after that debacle that was called a Denver Bronco football game.
Terrible.
We did one of my favorite things, Louie, and that was decorate for Christmas. Oh, I hate it. I hate it.
You and I have never agreed on anything more.
Well, Sherry's an artist, and okay. So you know you put up. To me, you're going to put up a little greenery and some lights, and you know if when you plug it in, the lights come on, you've done a good job. But you know Sherry's got to fix this twig and fix that twig, and it just takes forever. But but after it's done, I enjoy it. And we'll enjoy it until we have to take it all down, which is my second worst day.
Yeah, no, I hear you. You know, you go to, it's the first Sunday in Advent. And for some reason in women's brains, it's like, bing, Christmas, like right away. And I can't do it, man. I just can't do it. So.
But it's done. We're happy with it.
All right, folks, it's Monday. You know what time it is? Time for Monday's Moron with Dan Issel, so let's go!
Well, you know, I had a lot of, after after Ohio State's game, Clemson's game, LSU's game, Oregon's game.
A lot of morons.
I had a lot, but I decided to leave that in the past. And I'm going to go with what I've done before, which is we have one local moron and one national moron. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but Matt Rhule took the Nebraska job.
He did take the Nebraska job.
Now Matt Rhule was owed, or is owed, $40 million by the Carolina Panthers. And if I had somebody that was going to pay me $40 million, I would go sit on the beach someplace and just enjoy the rest of my life. Matt Rhule took the Nebraska job, and this is why he's Monday morning's moron.
Okay.
He has an offset on the $40 million, depending on what he makes on his next contract. So they announced that it was an eight-year contract, but they didn't announce the terms, and I'm sure that's because it's heavily backloaded, so he can still get some of Carolina's money. But why would you take, if you had $40 million in the bank, why would you take the Nebraska job? Is it a plum job? It used to be, but you and I used to have hair too, Louie. There have been a lot of decent coaches. See, for instance, Bill Callahan, who have failed miserably at Nebraska recently. And was it just because he wanted to take his family to live in Lincoln? Have you ever been to Lincoln, Nebraska?
I have.
The gateway to Omaha?
I have.
And he is going in there, and it's even going to get harder now that if you've seen UCLA and Southern Cal play, it's even going to be harder being in the Big Ten. And so to pass up a $40 million payday to take the Nebraska football job, he is Monday morning's moron. Now, we also have a local moron, and I got a text Friday night from Blankenbaker. And my first reaction, Louie, was, who gave Blankenbaker my number? That was my first reaction. Secondly, he leads out by saying the Governor's Cup is coming home. And then we text back and forth, and I tell him, you know, trying to be as nice as I can, saying, you know, I think that, you know, it should be a good game, but I'm worried about the ACC versus the SEC. And he said, oh, no, that won't come into play. And he ends by saying, I will text you back tomorrow after the game, win or lose. Still haven't heard from Blankenbaker. So Mark Blankenbaker is Monday morning's moron number two.
He's Dan Issel. I'm Louie Rabeau. Here, Issel and Louie, 680-1057. Monday's Moron brought to you by Open Slot. If someone wants to jump in on Dan's beautiful Monday soliloquy, you are welcome to do that. So Matt Rhule and Mark Blankenbaker, you are both morons. There you go.
Absolutely. All right. So
I don't know if I agree on the Matt Rhule thing.
Why was Louie, they're going to pay you $40 million and you're going to go to Lincoln, Nebraska and expose yourself to that?
I think he just turned $40 million into $100 million.
I don't know about that. What they're basing this on is the fact that he was able to turn Temple around and Baylor around. And then, like a lot of college coaches, both football and basketball, go to the pros and fail miserably.
Sure.
And I'm sure that's what Nebraska's counting on, is that he can turn their program around. But it's been so long since Nebraska football was relevant. And remember, those were the days before the transfer portal, where other teams like the Big Ten that you're competing in are going to go out and be able to find players that they can fill holes. And so if they owed me $40 million, I'd wait until I got every penny. Then maybe I might look for a college job.
I don't believe you. Matt Rhule is 47 years old. I don't think you could have stopped working at 47 because you do this with me 5 days a week. For not $40 million. I don't believe you, actually. I really don't. I think you would have done something very similar, and someone on Sports Talk Radio would be saying, what the hell is Dan Issel doing?
No way.
Okay.
No way.
Okay.
How much money is enough? I mean, you know, you pay all your taxes, you got $20 million in the bank, and I'm sure he's got more than that in the bank, having, sure, you know, for what he already earned there. So, no. I don't. Maybe you're right. Maybe at 47, maybe you still have that drive. Maybe you still want to subject yourself to that kind of scrutiny and that kind of criticism. You might be right, Louie, at 47. But at 67, there's no...
Oh, yeah, God, no, yeah, no.
Maybe even 57.
Yeah, 100%. But he's in his 40s, man. Let's talk about this, because I think two hires happened. Which one was a better hire and which one will perform better are different questions. Matt Rhule goes to Nebraska. Luke Fickell takes the Wisconsin job.
Look, I knew where you were going. Luke Fickell, far and away. Luke Fickell's a Big Ten guy. Luke Fickell was successful at Cincinnati in today's environment, and I can understand why, you know, he wouldn't want to go to a watered-down Big 12 with Cincinnati when he had a chance to go to Wisconsin. And Wisconsin, you know, more recently, Wisconsin's been a much better program than Nebraska, so that's not even a question. I think that was brilliant on Wisconsin's part, getting Luke Fickell.
How many times did Matt Rhule win the Big 12 in his three seasons at Baylor, Dan?
Twice.
Never. What was his overall record at Baylor?
Well, he gets credit for turning that program around. I'm going to say it was, 65, 70%?
19 and 20.
Oh, my goodness.
He went 1-11 his first year, to give him credit, because they were terrible. And then 11-3 his last year. They lost the Sugar Bowl in 2019. Do you know who they lost to?
No.
They lost to Georgia. That was the year before the year for Georgia. I think Luke Fickell's not going to work at Wisconsin.
Really?
And I don't have a good reason for it, but I think he's... The one year he had Ohio State's talent, he went 6-6. And I get it, he has more experience now, and it worked at Cincinnati and all those things. We just assume guys can move from one level to another and have it work. Matt Rhule went from Baylor to the NFL, and it didn't work. And I wonder if with Luke Fickell, it's going to be something similar, because you have to remember, Wisconsin has won by just literally putting out five 350-pound white guys on the offensive line and knocking people down, and then having incredible running backs behind them. Now, can he recreate that? Maybe. And if he does that, then yeah, they'll win a bunch of games. But I should probably be pretty clear. I think because of where they play and who's on their schedule, you know, 8-9 wins is sort of the basement. But that's not what they expect at Wisconsin. They just fired a coach that was doing that, right? And so I'll be interested, you know, with the Fickell hire. I don't think it's a bad hire. I want to be on record. I don't think it's a bad hire. I also think Matt Rhule is the better, between the two hires, it's the better look. I mean, it makes, after Nebraska let Scott Frost go, like, did you expect them to get a coach of Matt Rhule's acumen? I didn't.
No, right. No, and that's why I say he's a moron, because I don't know why he would take that job. I mean, you know, if he was desperate for a job, but here's a guy that's got that, you know, the Panthers owe him all that money. He can afford to be a little more choosy, in my mind, and that's not Nebraska is not a good job. It's not. and for a lot of reasons. And that's why I'm surprised he took it.
He is 58 and 70 in his coaching career. It's pretty remarkable. So it's a good.
And it looks like Freeze is now going to get the Auburn job, right?
I guess there's pushback about his background, but everyone knows these coaches all have backgrounds, or many of them. Yeah. I shouldn't say all of them. Excuse me, many of them do. What do you think was a bigger attempt at getting more money? Lane Kiffin talking about the Auburn job, or now Big Dog Vince Mero talking about getting the Cincinnati head coaching job?
Kiffin. Kiffin played that like a Stradivarius. I'm not so sure that Kiffin was ever on Auburn's radar.
I don't know about radar, but certainly I don't think they were ever going to. He was like third, if anything, for them. Yeah,
yeah, and the media was the one who played it up, and Kiffin was brilliant. I called a team meeting on Tuesday to tell the team I hadn't accepted the Auburn job. Not that he was not going to take the Auburn job, but the fact that he had not taken it yet. I mean, he left it out flying, and he did a great job, and as a result, he gets what has now become commonplace in college football. He gets a $9 million contract.
Deion to Colorado. Is anyone talking about it out there?
Yes. Yes. Please. No way. No way.
Does that even get a headline out there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
It's
okay.
It's all over that they have offered him the job. Colorado's got to be the worst football team in the country. They were, 42? They played Utah. Now, Utah's good, but they played Utah on Saturday, and at halftime, the score is 42-0. And you could have shot off a cannon in that stadium and not hit anybody. I mean, there weren't 14 people at that game. And of course, you know, it was Thanksgiving weekend, but the student section was empty, Louie. There wasn't anybody in the student section. So they've got to do something to make a splash, and that would be a huge splash. But Deion's not a dummy. And, you know, was it Arizona or Arizona State that hired the guy from Oregon? Dillingham, maybe, something like that. I thought that was a job that Deion might take, but no, there's no way Deion's taking the Colorado job.
437-9680 UPS jobs text line texture says Auburn giving pushback for a coach to lack of integrity or questionable background in football is hilarious, considering who coaches the basketball team. I like that text. It's also SEC football. Who cares? I mean, like, let's stop pretending that we care about that stuff.
That's a great text. That is a terrific text.
Oh, man,
good job, Dexter.
That game just made me sad on Saturday, though, Dan. Like, it just wasn't played well by good players. Like, there wasn't any, I mean, just, and, you know, a texter said earlier, you know, Kentucky needs to quit focusing on, you know, beating Louisville and focus on not getting passed up on the ladder of the SEC. And I think we kind of made that point, too, that, you know, it's troublesome when you watch Tennessee literally get a sports car and just blow by you as you drive a 1970s pickup truck. And then, you know, watch South Carolina develop into a decent team. Watch Shane Beamer actually get things out of Spencer Rattler. I mean, that kid's there again next year. Yeah. And that game's in Columbia. Yeah. I mean, like, all this stuff, right? So, I mean, it's just 8 home games and everything else just disappointing on that side. And then, you know, it was just such a big thud for Louisville to land in that game the way they did.
And does he not seem – I mean, I love that story. And again, his father – who was a very, very successful football coach, was in the stands with his South Carolina gear on, and Shane just seems like a good guy who's getting the best out of the players. I think that's a great story.
Yeah. So I have to admit that video in the UK locker room after the game is still one of my favorite things that happened this football season.
What was that?
Oh, when he's dancing and he puts the sunglasses on. Remember, Mark Stoops made fun of him in the offseason.
Oh, yeah. No, that was...
All right.
Oh,
real quick, before we get to our culture item of the day, we're going to talk pheasant pigeons with Dan.
Yeah, this is your worst effort.
I
so
totally
far.
Disagree with you. I've had way worse. Team USA puts up the protester flag for Iran instead of Iran's national team on social media, yeah. And Iran asks for the U.S. to be removed from the tournament. Who do you side with here, Dan?
100%, 1,000, 1,000,000% with the USA, with the human rights and the way that they treat women in Iran. No, I'm 100% with them. I'm starting to get into this.
You are getting into the World Cup, man.
This World Cup, of course, U.S. plays Iran this afternoon. And if they win, they go on to the round of 16. If they tie or lose, then they come home. But there have been some interesting stories. Did you see, Louis, I don't know, there are countries maybe that have more disposable income than Saudi Arabia, but I don't know who it would be right now. Did you see what Saudi Arabia, after their upset of Argentina, which they were 25-1 to win that game, did you see what Saudi Arabia gave each member of the Saudi soccer team?
I did not.
A Rolls Royce Phantom.
My God.
$460,000 a copy.
Wow.
$460,000 for a Rolls Royce Phantom, and every member of the Saudi soccer team got one. Then, on top of that, Cristiano,
Ronaldo. Yep,
Ronaldo. He gets kicked off United Manchester. Saudi offers him a 3-year contract for $250 million to play for their national team. So there are some funny stories coming out of the World Cup.
You know what I think? Here's my hot political take about the Iran thing. Have you ever watched whenever Cuba comes to play baseball in the U.S., a couple of guys go missing and then they defect?
Yeah.
Right? I think they should offer immediately after the game, hey, there's a bus around the back of the stadium. Anyone that wants asylum in the United States, jump on that bus. And we take as many of the guys as want to come to the U.S.
Yeah. I think I misspoke. I think I said that game's this afternoon. It's tomorrow.
They play tomorrow, yeah. Yeah, they play Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
But 100% with the USA on that deal.
No kidding. I'm with you. All right. Second hour of the show brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky, ky.deltadental.com. Individual plans for your employees or maybe just for your family. Go check them out with their nationwide network of dentists. They also offer vision plans through VSP, through Delta Vision. All of that at ky.deltadental.com. Dan and I talk about long lost species, and I have an angle of this, I promise. Next, 680-1057.
You're listening to Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, welcome back in. Final segment here on a Reaction Monday, post-Governor's Cup Monday, here on 680, 105.7. Issel and Louis taking you up till noon. V-Show after us, and then, of course, First Take at 3. Louisville basketball back in action tomorrow. ACC Big Ten Challenge hosted here at the Yum Center, Maryland visiting. But instead of going to the Yum Center, you should stay home and listen to it on the radio. Pregame starts at 5:30 with tip-off at 7 on 93.9 The Villain on the app. And then directly following Paul Rogers and the network postgame, it's the Miller Lite postgame show with Ethan Moore, who will sound very exasperated. He'll take your calls, texts, and you'll hear from Kenny Payne all Tuesday night. 93.9 The Villain and ESPN Louisville app. A lot of satirizing there, but I'm only kind of kidding. And a reminder, too. Hey, it's conference championship week. There are some good football teams out there, we promise. The Pac-12 doing the thing Friday night in Las Vegas, USC, Utah, 7 p.m. on all ESPN Louisville stations. That should be a really good one. And then the SEC championship is 3:30 on Saturday. And then the ACC is dumb enough to go up against the Big Ten championship. They'll be on the 93.9, Clemson and North Carolina on 93.9 The Ville at 7. Then you get Michigan and Purdue, 3:45 on ESPN 680, 105.7. SEC and Big Ten here on 680. And then you get the ACC game on 93.9 The Ville. What were you saying, Dan?
I was going to say, have you seen a line yet on Maryland and Louisville?
Oh, no, I haven't. Have you?
No.
All right. Okay. There you go. All right. Let me see if I can try to find it here.
Louisville, unbelievably, Louisville's not getting much coverage. It took me forever to find a box score for the Cincinnati game. I mean, I went to about 10 different websites before I finally found the box score.
All right. So Maryland is 6-0, Louisville 0-6. What would you, no line yet. Two questions for Dan Issel. Get in price and the matchup predictor. What do you think they are?
Matchup predictor is 84% Maryland.
What is the get in price?
And the get in price is $18.
The get in price is $18. Dan is dead on the money.
Oh!
And the matchup predictor is 82.5%. Look at Dan Issel. You play silly games, you get silly answers, and Dan's right on both. All right, so I would have to guess Maryland's what, a 12-point favorite when they come in?
It's going to be double digits for sure.
Yeah. So yeah. Maryland this year, they are ranked 23rd, and I think that's just because of their record. They've beaten the powerhouses at home of Niagara, Western Carolina, Binghamton, St. Louis, and Coppin State. They also beat Miami at home 88-70. So we'll see how they look in their first road game here at the Yum Center. I'm kidding, of course. People should go out to the Yum Center. It's actually how many games at the Yum Center have you been to, Dan?
Louisville games?
Basketball games in general.
I've been to two.
Okay.
And I went big dog both times. The first time, remember, this has been 3 or 4 years ago when I first got to Louisville to do the NBA to Lou thing.
Sure.
I went to a Virginia game.
Oh.
And that was the game that was the game that Virginia scored like 8 points in the last 7 seconds to win the game. I don't know if you remember that game or not.
I do.
Louisville had the ball out of bounds underneath, and all they had to do was basically inbound the ball to win the game. And the referee, we were sitting courtside, and I was literally 20 feet from the play. And Louisville, the referee points at the floor right in front of the kid, which means you have to stay here.
Right.
You can't run the baseline. He points at the floor, hands the kid the basketball, and the kid takes off on the baseline and inbounds the ball. It was a turnover. Virginia made a three-pointer and won the game. So I went to that game. Joe Steyer and Sonny invited Sherry and I. We sat courtside. And then a couple of years ago, I went to another one. I don't even remember who Louisville played. But I've been to two Louisville games in the Yum Center.
There you go. All right. And in your travels and different things, where would you rank? I mean, where would the Yum Center be as far as NBA arenas?
I said this before when I first saw it. I had never been in until that day of the Virginia game. I had never been in the Yum Center. And not only did, you know, I see the outside and the public areas, but I was taken back and I saw the practice floor.
Yep.
Which, you know, and Jim Host will tell you that when they designed the Yum Center, they did so with the NBA in mind. An in-arena practice floor is a must in this day's NBA. I said that the Yum Center would automatically be in the top 5 to 7 NBA arenas.
I agree with you.
If they have a team. Yeah. Now, the Yum Center is sweet.
Yeah, I agree. I was hoping you would say top 10 because to me it's not even a question. You know, and
no.
It's interesting, too. Have you been to a game up in Indianapolis? Because I love that arena. Gainsbridge, yeah. I think it's called now, Gainbridge. That is very basketball specific too, which makes it even, you know, even more desirable.
Yeah.
It's an incredible facility up there.
So. I coached the Nuggets in that arena.
Really? It's that old now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That came out really negative. I'm not trying to do that.
No, it always does. Whenever you talk about my past, it always comes out negative.
1990. No, what I'm saying is it opened in 99. It feels like it opened 5 years ago.
Yeah, no. The first time I coached the Nuggets, they were still in Market Square Arena.
Sure.
But no, the second time I coached the Nuggets, they were in whatever that field house. I think it's been called like 7 different things.
What was your last year with the Nuggets as a coach?
I want to say 2001, 2002.
Okay. Yep.
Something like that.
So they would have just moved in. Got it. Okay. Yeah. All right. That makes sense.
Yep.
I love going to games up there because even if you end up in the first like 3 rows of the upper bowl, you're right on top of the court. It's awesome. I mean, it's.
Right. No. It's, I mean, really it's a basketball arena.
Yep.
There's no, you know, a lot of these places now are, you know, they're built for hockey and concerts and you know, different. And I'm sure they can have those things. In the field house, but it is definitely basketball slanted.
What did you like Market Square Arena, or was that one of those that you weren't too sad to see go?
No, I wasn't, because we used to get our tail whipped.
Where did they? Did you play one season up there in the ABA?
No. I played 6 seasons there in the ABA.
No, what I'm saying is that it looks like the Pacers played a season.
Oh, in Market Square Arena.
In Market Square Arena, yeah, when it was new.
Yeah, no, when they first started, I can't remember when they built Market Square Arena. When they first started.
It opened in 1974.
Okay, yeah. So I would have played 2 years in the ABA in Market Square. But then, of course, I played 9 years there. With the Nuggets.
Yep.
They used to, the Pacers, when I first came to the Colonels, the Pacers played out at the fairgrounds, and the place doubled as a roller skating rink, I think. So, yeah, so I would have played 2 years in the ABA there and 9 years in the NBA.
All right, so culture item of the day is an animal that they thought.
I got to tell you one quick story about
that.
Yeah,
of course, go.
So for years, I was in the ABA for 6 years. And from the day number one, you know, there was this talk about merging with the NBA and being part of the NBA. And, you know, everybody thought that that was a possibility. And I went to the Nuggets, and they were one of the teams that went into the NBA.
Right.
And when I was with the Colonels, Louie, we used to play the Pacers like every other week. So I don't know how many times I had played against the Pacers in the ABA, but it had to be like 30 or 40 times. So I'm with Denver. We're one of the 4 teams that goes into the NBA. Do you know where our first NBA regular season was? Indianapolis.
Okay, of course. Yeah, right there. Yeah, of course.
My first NBA regular season game was against the Indiana Pacers. Do you think the NBA was trying to get even? They start the season with two ABA teams playing.
Yeah, of course. Oh, man. All right, so the culture thing that I put up today, that Dan is slandering before we even get to it, is that they have set up these – so and this is common, by the way, in these these sorts of environments, like really rugged rainforests that are completely undeveloped and whatever, especially in Polynesia, where this one is in the island of New Guinea, or outside of the island of New Guinea. They found an animal they thought was extinct in the 1880s, walking around. I don't necessarily care about this individual version of pheasant pigeon, Dan, but is there an animal that is extinct that you would like to have had an experience around or seen?
Oh, Jurassic Park. I would have liked to have seen.
Would you have gone to Jurassic Park, or at least the concept of it?
If I didn't have to sign a waiver, yeah.
Yeah, right.
If I didn't think they were going to wind up eating me, yeah. I think that would have been great to see the dinosaurs. And what about a woolly mammoth? Aren't they extinct?
They are. I think that's a really good one, by the way. Yeah. How about you, Avery? Yeah. Do you have one?
Yeah.
Like an extinct animal that you would love to have seen or eaten or anything. I don't care.
I don't know. Like, the woolly mammoth seems pretty interesting,
right?
Because, like, it looks cuddly without being cuddly.
Yeah, right.
Mammoths are kind of mammoth. But also, this particular pigeon looks more like a chicken than a pigeon.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't know if it's just, like, the coloring or the shape, but it doesn't look much like a pigeon.
I think the saber-toothed cat. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's why I think that this is stupid, because if this was some mammal or some fish that they thought was extinct for 140 years and all of a sudden they saw one,
yes,
that'd be exciting. This is a pigeon. This is a pigeon. And these poor people, they said that this island, Ferguson Island, where they found this pigeon, is covered in rugged mountainous terrain, making the expedition especially challenging for the scientists.
Oh, yeah.
So not only is it a pigeon, but they had to work real hard to see a pigeon.
Saber-toothed cat. That's where I'm going. I'm going saber-toothed cat. I just want to see a cat with giant incisors. That's what I want. Terrified to death.
I like
death.
That one.
Yeah, yeah, that would be pretty cool to see.
Terrifying, I think. Woolly mammoth is number two, though, for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like people like the dodo bird. I'm like, I've seen penguins. Like, I'm good. I don't need that. I don't need that in my life. Like the great auk or something.
A woolly mammoth is basically a furry elephant.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for your contribution to the show.
But like, who wouldn't want to see a furry elephant?
I'm with you. I'm with you on that part. Yeah, yeah. It's that damn climate change, Dan.
Yeah,
taking out all the woolly mammoths.
That's what it is. That's
I'm with you though. I think Jurassic Park would be pretty damn wild.
Don't lead me down that path. You'll just get me in trouble. So let's go someplace else.
That's actually a true statement. Is that the climate changed and the woolly mammoths went away? That's actually a true statement. Anyways, it's true. The Ice Age happened. They dominated the Ice Age. The Ice Age went away. They didn't dominate anymore. Tasmanian tigers, by the way, if you ever look them up, look really cute. But I imagine they were giant AHs, like just. Giant ages. Very cute, though. Last one, I think, died in the 1930s. Anyways.
And would rip your throat out.
That sounds right, yeah. Hey, by the way, at the top of college basketball, I'm interested in this because I actually think we have 16 to 20 teams this year that if they play their A game can essentially beat anybody else in the country.
No question.
And it's turning out to be a very interesting season that way. UNC loses a couple of games. Is this a long-term issue for them, given their start and how kind of bleh they've been against bad teams? Or do you think that they can figure it out like they did last year?
No, I think they figured out like they did last year. Okay. They just have too much talent on that team. They've got four starters back. They've got a really good transfer from Northwestern. They've got a couple of freshmen, well, now sophomores, that were very highly recruited that couldn't get off the bench last year.
Right.
No, but I agree with you 100%. Louis, I think there might be five teams in the SEC that could win the national championship, and that's one conference. It looks like, you know, this was supposed to be a down year for the Big Ten, but it looks like the Big Ten's got some teams that can play. The ACC always does. And, you know, I don't know what's – Kansas didn't look too good the other day against Tennessee. But, you know, they'll be there at the end. So I agree with you. I think there might be 20, 25 teams.
Yeah.
Houston's a very good team. Gonzaga. I mean, there might be 25 teams.
Creighton's in that group. Yeah, you mentioned SEC. Alabama's definitely in that group, right?
Yeah.
You know, Michigan State's already beaten Kentucky. I think we – you know, if we get the best version of Kentucky, they can beat a lot of teams. So I think it's incredibly loaded. You know, this Purdue run that they just went on in their tournament is eye-opening. And it speaks to – it's really interesting. I was going back through who's won the last couple of national titles, and it's a real mix of great coaches and great talent. And Cal has always relied on trying to just amass talent, right? And then you get guys like Jay Wright, who have a couple of NBA dudes, but really rely on coaching, right? And
right.
So I think early in the year, you'll see Purdue pick some teams off because they're coached so darn well. But at the same time, I don't think they have enough dudes to make a national title type run, something like that. So I think it's more likely that Duke figures it out by February and catches up, you know, and, you know, Purdue's as good as they're going to get, essentially, is what I mean.
Well, yeah, because they have a veteran team, and they've got that big 7'3" guy in the middle. Edie, I think he was the MVP of that tournament, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, he's a really nice player. Yep.
Yeah, but when you have a bunch of freshmen who have never played together, there's a much bigger upside than a veteran team like Purdue.
Coming down on the text line, Louis, I'm surprised you didn't call Dan a dinosaur. Hey, you keep those to yourself, Texter. Ridiculous. I would never do that.
No, he's right. You never fail to take a shot at my age.
By the way, we want to thank our friends at Melt 502 for bringing lunch to the studios. Just watched her walk in. Try out the hot brown egg rolls and tons of other awesome items, gourmet sandwiches and other items, the wings at Melt 502, heart of Fern Creek, behind the Moby Dick, 6318 Bardstown Road. Mention ESPN Louisville, 10% off your next order. They do have that indoor cornhole league going on. Sign up, get a free bucket of beer at melt502.com, melt502.com. Oh, man, it's the day that I have to choose violence or not violence with lunch here. Because the food, it's ridiculous. It's so good.
It goes so fast on Mondays.
Oh,
like, even when there's nobody here, it's,
yeah,
like,
it's
somehow,
great call.
Like,
that's a great
20
call.
Or however many containers they give us, they're just gone.
Such a great point. It's so popular here, man. It is so
Hey, I would see people that I had never seen before that were in the lunchroom. I don't know if they even worked at ESPN Louisville or if they, you know, just the door was left open. But anytime food hits that table, it's going to be gone for sure.
All right, so let's do a little bit of a wrap-up. V show in about 10 minutes here. Dan, letter grade for UK football. Letter grade for U of L football this year.
Yeah, I've already given mine.
Well, I know. We turn over the audience every about 8 minutes, Dan. So go ahead and tell the new audience who that is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, pretend like you're hearing this for the first time. I would give Louisville a C. I think, you know, the fact that they're 7-5 and going, especially the way the season started, I think when you look back at the season as a whole, I think they beat some ACC teams that really weren't very good, but the C is average, that's what I give them. With the expectations that Kentucky had coming into the season, supposedly, you know, going to be win 9, 10, 11 games, and to finish 7-5 and be headed to the Music City Bowl, that's a D plus at best.
There you go. All right. Well, I'm very similar. I think Louisville getting to 7 wins is nice, but losing to Boston College is unacceptable. So I'm C minus with them, and I'll also go C minus for UK because at least they keep the rivalry win streak going. So,
do you agree with what I said earlier that it doesn't matter what bowl they go to and who the opposition is? If Levis doesn't play, they've got no shot to win.
I don't know about no shot, but they'll be a betting dog in that game for sure.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's a no shot because I think you can get really boring against a bad team who's also not interested and win a game that way, but it'll be interesting. Texter reminding us UNC has to travel to Bloomington for their next game. It actually could be 3 losses in a row. That's a great point, and I think there's a really good chance IU is ranked higher than them. Those rankings come out in a couple minutes. IU will be ranked higher than UNC when they visit, which is, at the beginning of the year, impossible to imagine. Yeah.
No, there'll be a lot of movement at the top. It'll be interesting to see if Kentucky moves up from 15 after their 40-point win last week.
In your face, Ospreys. Reminder too, that stuff. You know, we've kind of coined a phrase on this show. Not that something's a must win, but it's a must don't lose. Man, that feels like a must don't lose for IU. Like that's a UNC team not playing their best. Coming to your house, like that's a game you should win, right? And that's added to the resume of going to Xavier and winning. Have UNC on the resume as well. If you want to get into that 2-3 seed kind of range as IU, like that's a game. Don't lose it, essentially.
Yeah, and can you imagine what the atmosphere is going to be like there? I mean,
I'm with you, man.
IU is back being relevant again, and IU, that's always been an impossible place to play. I think the climate in that at that game ought to be just sensational.
All right, Dan. Well, I hear the music, as Danison would say.
Well, I am going to go figure out what's wrong with my equipment.
Sounds like a deal.
I apologize for having to do it on the phone, and we'll get this figured out, and I'll be back to normal tomorrow.
All right, we will be back at 10 o'clock tomorrow, and we hope you will be too. Have a good rest of the day, everybody. B-Show up next at noon, and then you get a First Take at 3 o'clock here on 680-1057. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.